We will be blessed this morning. A message that God laid on my heart several weeks ago, something to do with the spiritual disciplines. And like I said earlier, that it was actually at a, I'm a law enforcement chaplain, and so at a training I went to at the academy in Douglas, there was we did devotions every morning as chaplains. Of course, we do that. And that one of the chaplains was there and shared on some of the spiritual disciplines. And basically, he mentioned a man named Richard Foster, who I'll tell you about here in a minute. That wrote a book, and some of these spiritual disciplines were in there, and that's kind of where they got a little more famous, at least in recent days. But as he did, it just struck my heart as, wow, those are, you know, as Christians, if we're wanting to grow, anybody want to grow? Amen. I want to grow as a Christian. I don't want to stay where I'm at. So I just thought, wow, as we want to grow as Christian believers, that this is good. It's good to be reminded. We know certain things. We know we should pray, right? We know we should do some of these things. But it's a great reminder to be refreshed, to say, you know what? This should be an active part of your life every day. So we're going to press into spiritual disciplines, but let's start with some prayer this morning. Father God, we open ourselves up to you. Father, we know that you have our best interests in mind. We know that you love us. You care for us so much that you sent your only Son to die for us. Father, we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have confessed him as our Lord and Savior. We claim him as the one that has made us right with you. And Father, we trust you now as we press into your word. May you open it up, that we get an understanding that maybe we didn't have before, that we are stirred in our hearts, Father, to grow and to continue pursuing you with a passion, Lord, allowing you to live and love right through us, Lord. We thank you for it, praise you for it. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. So I guess starting out with a question this morning on what is it that gives life to your walk with Christ? You know, what is it that keeps you going? What is it that stirs you? Obviously, we know about, you know, hope and faith and some of those things. Those are going to be part of it. But what is it that keeps your walk kind of fresh? Okay, well, I think these spiritual disciplines will play a part in that. You should be, hopefully, as a Christian, growing. Okay, we want to be growing. I don't care how long you've been with the Lord. I've told you guys some of my stories and obsessing about Jesus and listening to the Word 24 hours a day and all these kinds of things. I am still growing as a Christian. I have not arrived. I love to learn more. Okay, so I hope that you are desiring to grow and to move forward and to what I call flow with the Spirit of God. Okay, because as some of you know that a stagnant pond, stagnant water stinks. Okay, after a while, it doesn't have any inlet, doesn't have any outlet. Okay, both are important. It doesn't have any way for that water to move and be refreshed, and so that the water begins to get kind of a putrid smell to it. Okay, and the mud around it, if you've ever been around a pond like that, is kind of stinky itself. But if you try to walk down into it, you're going to get stuck because it's really sticky. You know, you kind of greasy stuff, and you get in, you'll step in a pond like that and sink up to your knees, and it kind of grabs onto you. It's kind of hard to get back out of it again. Okay, well, compare that to like a flowing stream. Okay, this time of year, the water's flowing pretty good in most of the streams around here, but if you go to one that after the snow is done melting or mostly melted, a stream like that is refreshing. It is moving. It is crystal clear. You can see the bottom. You can see clearly through that. You can walk into it because that water has sort of made a solid ground for you, and you can literally step right in and walk across a stream. Okay, that water is, at point, I don't recommend it all the time, but you could almost drink some of that water if you got in a fix. It is, might have a little fish dew in it or something, but, you know, for the most part, it's pretty clear water. I've had to do it. Been out in the mountains without water and done that. Okay, so we know that living water, or that stream of water, is refreshing. And that's what we want as our Christian, in our Christian walk. If we get to a point where we kind of stagnate, okay, we quit being as refreshing for not just ourselves in our walk, but also the people around us. Okay, now the Bible tells us to grow up into Christ, or grow up into him, it says, in all things. Okay, that means in every area of our life, we are continuing to grow up into Christ. Okay, we are to desire the sincere milk of God's word so that we may, quote, grow thereby. Okay, we grow by taking in God's word in sincerity. So I want to share something with you this morning that I think will help you to flow. It'll help you to grow tremendously in your walk with God. Now, I mentioned already that I didn't invent the concept of spiritual disciplines. Okay, a man named Richard Foster has become pretty famous lately with in recent years with a book called Celebration of Discipline. Okay, and in it, he defines at least 12 spiritual disciplines that every believer should acquire and maintain. Okay, they are things that are going to help refresh your walk and keep you solid with God. Okay, now, when you hear celebration of discipline, discipline often gets a bad rap, right? What do you think of when you think of discipline, right? Get out the rod and, you know, a little correction maybe, or, you know, punishment, or, you know, consequences. You know, we tend to associate that with discipline. But the true definition of discipline, that word carries with it the idea of training and education. In other words, discipline is something we should learn from or learn through. It is a manner of growing. If you think of the disciples, okay, the disciplines, okay, put it together, they were disciples of Jesus Christ. That meant they learned from him. They followed him around. It wasn't Jesus, you know, correcting them and you know, always getting on them about stuff. They were learning through that. They were true disciples being disciplined. Okay, now discipline is the art of mastering something that will bring about a positive change. Okay, have you ever heard of being disciplined in your eating or disciplined in your exercise, right? If you're wanting to work out and get in shape, whatever, you got to be disciplined about it. It's hard to be hit and miss, kind of carefree about it and really see results. Discipline carries with it an idea of bringing about a positive change and then maintaining that change, okay? Because that is a big part of discipline. It is learning how to put something into your memory, into your life, in a way that you'll remember it, okay? Now, we all know, and have probably seen at times, maybe an undisciplined child, okay? Anybody know what I'm talking about? They're all over Walmart. No, I'm just kidding, right? We all know what an undisciplined child can be like. They're very unruly at times, at least at times. Okay, they tend to do whatever their flesh wants to do, and they say whatever their flesh wants to say, and often with a negative consequence, right? It doesn't turn out very good for them. Okay, I watched an encounter. My son and I we stopped at Walmart. I don't mean to pick on Walmart, but we did stop at Walmart, and as we were leaving, there was a vehicle that kind of pulled up, not in a parking space, but kind of out in front of the store itself. And there was a young man that stuck his head out the window, I don't know, maybe 12, 14 years old, somewhere in there, and as the mom kind of walked towards Walmart. And what was coming out of his mouth was a string of profanity and all kind of stuff aimed at that woman. I assumed it was his mom. And it turned into an exchange, and I stopped, being who I am, and decided I might want to help intervene, because they came together. The guy got out of the vehicle and they came together quickly, and I thought, this is going to go bad quick. And so took a couple steps in that direction, and they just stood like a referee and an umpire and a baseball player do, you know, where you have nose to nose and exchange those kind of words. And it got very, very heated. And I'm not saying that young man was undisciplined or whatever. It was an altercation. I don't know the whole situation, but from there it did get better eventually. But my point is that an undisciplined child will do whatever they want, okay? Whether there's a detrimental consequence to it or not. They just step out and do things kind of free will, you know, just go for it and make it happen. Well, to be spiritually disciplined, okay, like we're talking about this morning, is about creating soul reflexes. Okay, now your soul, mind, will, and emotions, okay, your soul is a little different than your spirit. It is about developing soul reflexes and what I would call soul memory. Okay, have you ever heard of muscle memory? Okay, at that chaplain training, one of the guys was 23 years law enforcement. He told about how nervous it made his kids the way that he went through his muscle memory practice every morning, because he would get up, get dressed, put his uniform on, strap on his gun belt, take out his sidearm, unload it, put the clip back in, and he would dry fire 10 times from a holster. Draw fire, draw fire, draw fire. He would do it 10 times over and over and over again, all in the point of creating a muscle memory, so that if he got into a situation where he absolutely, there was no time to react. His muscle memory would be what took over at that point. He did the exact same routine when he got off work, the end of his shift. He came home and before he took his uniform off, unloaded his sidearm, did the same thing. Draw, click, 10 times in a row to create a muscle memory. Okay, now it's not, somebody are looking at me like, why would he do that? He's planning to shoot somebody? No. But he doesn't want to have to stop and hesitate for 2 seconds thinking about what do I do next, or he's going to die and not go home to his family. So he explained that to his teenage daughter when she was concerned about, why do you do that? Why do you, every day you do that? Why do you keep doing that? And the idea was he wanted to come home to her. That was his end result. So he created a muscle memory. Well, a soul memory, okay, or a soul reflex is something that we create in normal, everyday times. Okay, sometimes they're more chaotic than others in life. But we create a soul memory in normal times so that they will engage automatically, or more automatically at least, in difficult times. So that we know when a crisis comes up, okay, things happen, right? So that when that happens, we have a soul memory, we have a reflex. Okay, or like when a temptation comes your way, you instinctively make the right choice and avoid it because your training kicks in. That's what you've planned to do if that ever happened. You ever got into that situation? You planned in your mind, you created and determined how you would respond to it. Okay, well, a soul memory or a soul reflex like that creates and allows for your life to, for you to enjoy life more, literally, to have more joy in your life, okay, to have more peace in your life, okay, to have more success in your endeavors, okay, because you will continue on that straight and narrow path more often, okay, than an undisciplined soul, okay, when the road curves, okay, or when it splits into two directions and you've got to decide which way to go, okay, you're going to instinctively make the best choice because you've practiced, you've exercised that, you have strengthened your soul to make the decision that will most benefit you and God, right? That's what your walk with Him is about. Okay, so here's a list of those spiritual disciplines that were outlined by Richard Foster. I have a slide for that, I think. They are in three different categories, okay, that they labeled as inner, okay, things that were inward, things inside of you, okay, things that are outward, things that are probably going to be seen through your life, and hopefully so if you're following these, and then corporate disciplines. That's this right here. That's the church. That's the fellowship. That's the gathering of the believers. Okay, that's part of where that comes from. Okay, now these are obviously not all-encompassing disciplines. There's a lot more to the Christian life than this. They're not going to solve every problem you ever had, but they are sure going to get you on a great place to start in your walk with God. They will help you to thrive. The inward ones, it mentions meditation, okay, prayer, fasting, study. Outward ones, it mentions simplicity, solitude, submission, service, and I add my own there, giving, because that is an outward one that we do. Okay, the corporate ones include confession, worship, we just got done worshiping God together, guidance, and celebration. Okay, now I figure for me to get through all 12 of these in one sermon is probably about 4 to 5 hours. So you guys have that much time? Okay. Maybe just for fun, we'll break them down into a series of sermons. How's that? Okay. So they won't be that long. What I would like to do today, though, is I like to go through each one briefly and just point out a couple things about each one. And then next Sunday, God's already told me we're doing something different, special for Father's Day, so I don't want to start that series today. But maybe the week following that, we'll start a series on spiritual disciplines. And that's God willing. Sometimes He changes things up on me, but that's where I plan to go with this right now. Okay, so first comes the inward spiritual disciplines. Okay, we'll start with meditation. Okay, now, Mr. Foster simplifies meditation by defining it as this. Here was his definition. Meditation is the ability to hear God's voice and obey His word. That's what he narrowed meditation is, hearing God's voice and obeying his word. You know, Joshua from the Bible said this about meditating on God's word in Joshua 1:8. He said, "The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Okay, the psalmist in his writing, as he began the book of Psalms in Psalm 1:2, he said this. He said, "But his delight shall be in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night." Talking about the believer. Now, several theologians, guys like Jack Hayford and Oral Roberts, Marilyn Hickey, Pat Robertson, a bunch of others, they wrote parts of, this is a study Bible, a Spirit-filled study Bible, and they wrote some of the commentary and pieces of it to help guide us in our Christian walk. And as I was reading through some notes on this very verse that we just read, this is what those guys corporately came up with for that verse. They said, "Practice regular Bible meditation. Delight in the scriptures and let them be your guide. Consistently spending time with God affects permanent change in our life, but insincere attempts at this result in a half-hearted devotion." Okay, speaking of meditating on God's word, spending time in it. I like how the Message Bible puts out, I'm kind of a King James guy, but I do read other versions occasionally, but I like how the Message Bible puts out a couple of verses about meditating on God. In Psalms 119, 54 and 55, the Message put it this way. He said, "I set your instructions," speaking to God, "I set your instructions to music and sing them as I walk this pilgrim way. I meditate on your name all night, God, treasuring your revelation, O God." Okay, that is pretty close to what Richard Foster came up with about listening to hear the voice of God and then obeying his word. That's what this kind of reminded me of when I read that. It's about understanding your walk with God, meditating on it, and then treasuring the revelation that God gives you. Meditation causes you to think about what you're thinking about. Okay, King Solomon said it in Proverbs. He said, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." Okay, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Okay, put your comma in the right place. That makes a lot more sense. Okay, the second spiritual discipline is prayer. How many of you guys believe in prayer? How many of you have ever prayed? Right? We know that. As a Christian, prayer should be part of our walk with God. That's who we are. It's what we do. Luke 18:1 tells us this. It says, "And he," Jesus, "spoke a parable unto them to this end." In other words, here's the whole point of it, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. In other words, continue. No matter what, continue to pray and to pray and to pray. Okay, again, in Luke 21:36, he said, "Watch ye therefore and pray always." And never lose in sight of that. How often do we struggle through stuff because we just didn't pray about it soon enough, right? We're letting it go on and trying to figure it out on our own or whatever it is and not saying, "God, I need some help." Okay, that's how simple it can be. Just turning to him and saying, "God, I need it. I need something right now." The Apostle Paul told us in his writings to pray without ceasing. To the Christians in the Philippian church, he said this in Philippians 4:6. Some of you probably got this one memorized. "Be careful for nothing," right? Careful, full of care, overwhelmed, worried, stressed out, whatever. Okay, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Okay, John told us in his writing, 1 John 5:14, he said, "This is the confidence that we have in him," in God, "that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him." Amen. I don't know about you guys, but my life of prayer is based on these last two passages. If I know that God hears me when I pray, I'm not going to stress about it, worry about it, fret. I'm going to turn to Him and say, God, here's, you already know the situation, but here's what we need to see. Okay, I don't have to fret and worry about things because I'm confident that God hears me when I pray, and I know that whatever I ask, I will receive. Okay, my life is based on that. Prayer is one of the, if you remember, the one of the very specific things that the disciples asked of Jesus. They wanted to know, Lord, teach us to pray. How do we pray? Okay, and He went through and gave them what some would call the Lord's Prayer. It's been made famous. Okay, prayer should be a daily part of our walk with Christ. The disciples saw that it was a need. They saw that they wanted to do it effectively, so therefore they sought God to get some understanding on it. That's what we should do as well. Okay, we don't have to make it complicated when it comes to praying, but it is something that we should do every day. I spend time with the Lord in specific prayer time, but I also just do it throughout the day. You know, something's coming up, things are going on, whatever's happening, it's time to pray. You know, if I see somebody, God speaks to me in threes and other stuff, so if I see somebody a third time in one day, I might not know that person, but I'm going to pray for them. God is laying them on my heart for some reason, and so there are times just to have those conversations with God. Okay, another spiritual discipline is fasting. I don't know how much fasting anybody has done, but it is intense in your walk with God. Fasting is an excellent way to strengthen your dependence on God. Okay, the man that first taught me about fasting had been in prison for a while. In fact, that's where he got his life right with God. He was raised by a Christian in a Christian home and knew what he was doing, but he got in some trouble, ended up in prison, got his life right with God, and while he was there, he fasted for weeks at a time. Okay, and at one point in his walk, he told me that he had fasted for so long that his body was not physically strong enough to walk up the flight of stairs to his cell block or whatever you call it. And at that point, he said, he described it as feeling like angelic beings were literally picking up one foot after another to get him up those stairs every day. Okay, that was an intense time in his life, but the revelations and things he got from it was outstanding. If you have things in your life like a bad habit, hey, you have things that you know that are not of God and you want them out of your life, fasting from food, okay, get this. Okay, we think, oh man, I really need to whatever, quit chewing, or I really need to, you know, whatever, we've got some vice or whatever, we think, quit eating. Okay, fast from food, because fasting from food is what fasting is about. It strengthens your spirit over your flesh. Okay, you will be more in tune with the Holy Spirit during that time, and there's more to fasting than just that, but you'll begin to hear more clearly, not just from God, but you'll hear the devil more clearly as well, just so you know that. But you get an understanding that your spirit, connecting with God's spirit, is very strong. And you put your flesh in its place. Paul called it bringing your body under subjection. Okay, putting it in its place. Okay, making sure that your flesh knows that you are spirit-led, not flesh-led. Okay, and you'll see more victories in your fleshly realm, in your soulish realm, because you have fasted. You don't have to do it for weeks. My friend was a little absurd sometimes. I love the guy. But that's a long time to fast when you get to that point. But it is intense in your walk, even if you do it intentionally for one meal. Okay? Start there if you got to start. Cut out your snack maybe. Or, you know what I mean? Start with where you can do it. And you're going to weaken your flesh so that your spirit is going to win the battle more and more often. Okay? Your spirit will begin to dominate. Okay, more on fasting when we do that in a later time. Study, okay, studying. You can memorize a verse or two. I don't care who you are. We had Clara's in the children's church this morning, but I remember when she was about this big and she came up in front of the church, some of you might remember that, and she recited like a whole chapter that she had memorized out of the Bible. Okay, my boys are getting grown up now, but still to this day, as part of their schooling, they memorize scriptures for every section or whatever it is. So every month they'll have two or three verses that they memorize. Okay, and that is something that when you get the Word of God in you, the Word of God is what comes out of you. Okay, it begins to affect your life. Okay, things begin to change. Like all those Bible scholars said, the more you meditate on God and His Word, permanent change is made in your life. Okay, and some of us, we need that permanent change, not just a temporary quick fix. We need permanent change. Okay, we need God to do an overall change in our life. Okay. In today's day and age, it is so simple to look up a word or a passage of the Bible that you desire to know more about. There's all kinds of apps. There's computer programs. I use some different softwares to do research. When I started out, anybody remember the concordance? Okay, some of you remember the old Strong's Concordance, a big, thick, mine was a brown book about this thing, and every word out of the Greek and the Hebrew broken down into all the roots of those words to help you understand a passage. And I remember studying for hours, just sitting with that Bible. Every day I would go through passages in the scriptures and maybe a whole book of the Bible. I have notebooks full of this stuff where I would take notebook or a book of the Bible and go through it, and every single word that wasn't like whatever, I would break it down. I'd find out what it was in the Strong's, and I'd write it all down. And I went through entire books of the Bible that way, just for fun, right? Because it was something that I needed in my life. I mean, you know, my life was a mess, so that permanent change was pretty necessary to get me back on the right track. Okay, well, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to Timothy, he told Timothy how that there are many people who have what he called a form of godliness, but deny the true power of God because they are, quote, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In other words, they were learning for the sake of head knowledge, but not really to get to the truth of a matter. They wanted to just study so that they knew more, so that they were impressive. And I'm not saying if you memorize scripture, you're, in any extent, it's going to do you some good. I did know a man that I met in Laramie, a pastor of a church that had memorized one verse out of every chapter of the Bible. And he was famous in town for it because that's a lot of verses, right? And he knew he could quote, you tell me, give me something out of James, and he could quote a verse. Or give me something out of Chronicles, he could do it. Okay, he was pretty well versed in that. We don't study just to have it in our head, though. We want to know the truth. Okay, God knows what that truth is. And as you read, and I want to say this about studying. Studying doesn't have to be sitting down with concordance doing all that stuff. If you want to study, take a passage of Scripture and read it over and over again. Read it until it begins to speak. Because God's Word is alive. God will quicken it, make it alive, speak to you. And something will begin to stand out from that verse. And I always recommend doing, you know, read the whole chapter. Put it in perspective. Kind of, why was it written? What was the meaning? What was the author trying to get across to you? You do that by reading a whole chapter. Or in a lot of Bibles, your chapters are going to have a subtitle, right? Or a heading, okay, in the chapter. And then there's little subtitles under that that kind of help the paragraphs make more sense. The guys that put the Bibles together, Zondervan and some of these other ones, kind of put those things in there to kind of help you stay on track. That's how simple it is to study your Bible. Okay, read a passage, read a chapter, read it over and over again as God reveals some truth to you. Okay, now, let's talk about outward disciplines. I'll pull that slide back up there again. The outward disciplines: simplicity, solitude, submission, service, and giving. Okay, we need simplicity in our walk with God. Now this one, some people don't think about this, but this is very, very powerful in your life. We need simplicity in our walk. The Apostle Paul stated that in several of his letters as he was writing things. He made statements like this. First Philippians 4:11. He said, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned that in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to both be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." To the Thessalonians, he said this, 1 Thessalonians 4:11. He said, and to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed you so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. He was referring to, and I pulled that out of the English because he was referring to living a simple life He was trying to tell them, quit being a busybody in everybody else's business and start living your own life. Pay attention to your own things and what's happening in your life. Jesus told us plainly to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added to you. That's simplicity. That is knowing that you will be provided. God is going to take care of you. Okay? Simplicity is a freedom from the worldly value system. Okay? And it allows us to enjoy life, okay, so that we can have a kind of a godly balance in our life. Remember the verse, love of money, right? Everybody knows that. Love of money is the root of all evil. Okay, that's going after kind of that world system, that world value system. And when we get caught up in that, it creates a bondage. Okay, it pulls us into something. Simplicity, on the other side of that, is freedom from worldly values so that we can enjoy that life. Okay, enjoy what God had for us. I don't know if, you know, not stepping on toes, but if you're a hoarder, okay, or you always feel like you got to have more stuff, okay, it brings with it a bondage of the worldly value system. Okay, you're going to always feel like, you know, you're anxious about it because I just don't have enough. Okay, that's that whole money thing, right? I just got to have more. I don't have enough yet. Okay, and it leads to an anxiety in your life. Okay, living a simple life is what helps us differentiate between what our needs are and what are just wants. Things that it'd be nice to have or whatever it is. Okay, simplicity is it's an exercise of your mind and your heart that prevents us from getting caught up in idolatry. Okay, the things of the world. Okay, it is a way that you live your life as if God is enough. If I never get another thing, I've got Jesus Christ. I've got him as my Savior. That's enough. And when you live that way, God will make sure that everything that you need comes into your life. And guess what? He'll even give you the desires of your heart when they line up with him. Okay, so there's some of those wants. God doesn't want you to be in lack all the time. In fact, I'd end that part kind of with this, that simplicity doesn't mean that we will live in lack. Doesn't mean that we will live in want or poverty. It means that we have learned to be satisfied and fulfilled by a simpler life. Okay, I never thought that we could do what we did in ministry. My family, my wife and I, at one time I was making close to six figures with a job, and we lived it up pretty nice during that time. I mean, we took care of things. We got things that we always wanted, and you know, some of the things that needed to be fixed, or where we're getting things done. And that was kind of my whole plan with that particular job. It was part of it was, you know, we got to get some things fixed up on the ranch kind of thing. And so I'm going to do this. I worked that full time and ended up being more than full time, but it was overwhelming. To go from that to what we make right now, which is next to nothing, okay, was literally a step of faith. But it has been the best thing that we ever did. We have learned so much about what really matters in life, okay? And things that, I don't feel like we're lack. I never wake up feeling, oh, wish we had more money. I don't, because of the way that we live. Okay, I'm not saying don't give to the church and help us, but you know what I'm saying. But I don't have that need or that lack. I don't feel like that, okay? I've learned to be satisfied and fulfilled by that simpler life. David summed it up nicely in Psalm 23. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Okay, I've got what I need. Okay, out of all the aspects of Christian living, simplicity has been said to stand out as one of the greatest differences between an authentic disciple and those who are carnally following the world order. Okay, with simplicity, you demonstrate that you do not follow the world's value system, that world order. Okay, and you're going to truly stand out as someone who walks with God and you have your priorities in life right. Okay, God comes first. Okay, that one was a long one. Solitude. Solitude is another one of those spiritual disciplines that Jesus set an example of. Okay, how often was he found dispersing the crowd so that he could go be alone with God? Okay, it is a way that you clear the clutter out of your life for a little while. Okay, solitude is a place away from the hustle and bustle of daily life where we can reevaluate what life is really about. Okay, that's where God will tell you what is a want and what is a need. God speaks to your spirit. Okay, that still small voice can often not be heard unless you're intentionally quieting your heart before the Lord, spending time with Him alone, listening intentionally. Okay, that act of purposefully seeking solitude is an act of worship. It means, God, I'm putting you first in my life. Okay, at least for 10 minutes, right? 2 minutes, an hour, a day. Okay, find that time to make Him that highest priority. Submission is another one of the spiritual disciplines. This is one that I could probably literally teach for weeks on just this one. Okay, and submission, I don't mean submit. I'll get into that eventually when we study it, but submitting to one another. But initially, I want to talk about submitting to God. Okay, putting yourself where God is your master. He is your king. Okay, it's an expression that it is a literal act of your will to submit to God. It's an expression that He and His will for your life are paramount. God, what do you want from me today? What do you want out of my life? I talked to a friend this week. He's from out of state. He called me up and he had been fasting for several days, seeking the Lord, and every day he was crying out to God, saying, God, what do you want from my life? God, what do you want from my life? And I kid you not, he had called me because after 6 days of fasting and crying out to God, what do you want from my life? He was absolutely overwhelmed with the call of God on his life. So much so that he could hardly function in his job and his other responsibilities. And he said, I need some help. What do I do next? What do I do now? Because I'm at this point and I don't know what to do. So we work through that. But that is a heart that is yielded to God. That is someone that says, God, my life is yours. Your will is my will. What do you want from me today? Okay. A yielded vessel like that is going to overflow. Okay. Because God will pour in until it begins to pour out. And God will use you in a powerful way. Service and giving. The last couple of the outward ones. These are going to come much more naturally to those who are submitted to God. However, service, serving God, serving others, and giving are all a discipline. They take discipline. They take a forethought. Okay, they take some exercising it. They take practicing it so that it becomes easy. I knew a gal years ago lived in a different, she's in a different state as well, but she was just known as being a giver. I mean, no matter what, in her life, she always had kids coming over. She lived in a cul-de-sac, and all these people were always at her house, and she was feeding them, and, I mean, homeless, and whatever, you name it. That's just her persona. That's who you thought of when you thought of this person. But she had practiced that her whole life. Okay, and now as an adult, that's just the way that people saw her. That's the way that she was. Okay, it does take discipline, takes determination to serve God, to serve others, and to be a giver. Okay, lastly, I need to finish this up. Spiritual disciplines of the corporate spiritual disciplines. Okay, these down here, confession, worship, guidance, and celebration. Okay, now for confession, 1 John 1:8 comes to mind. He said that if we have no sin, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, this aspect of confession is about being humble enough to admit that you strayed from God's ways, humble enough to admit you hurt somebody, you did something out of line, whatever it is, and you're willing to admit that. Okay, the most devastating sin in the kingdom of God is pride. Okay, Margie alluded to that earlier. Pride keeps people out of heaven. Pride keeps people from God. Pride keeps people from asking for help when they really need help. Pride keeps people from praying because they think they don't need it. They'll just deal with it on their own. Okay, I can make it through this. And false humility, which is a deep form of pride, is saying, I don't need God's help. I'll just suffer through this on my own because I'm not worthy of it anyway. Okay, and so they punish themselves and just kind of struggle through life, make it harder and whatever because they just feel like that is being humble, but it's not being humble. It's being proud because you're too proud to seek God to let Him deal with what needs to deal with in your life. Okay, the other side of confession is speaking out what God's Word says. Okay, confessing what you want to see and not what the problem is. I recommend that for prayer. If you're going to pray, don't pray the problem. Pray the solution. God, I need. God, I have this. You know the problem. Let's find the solution. And asking Him for that. Okay? Understand that your words have a tremendous amount of power. Okay? Outwardly and corporately confessing your faults or your faith. Not your faults, your faith. We do confess our faults one to another as well. But when you confess your faith, okay, it's critical to strengthen your walk with Jesus. I think when I got saved, I always tell this story. When I got saved, I immediately went to a gas station and told the clerk that I just accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Why did I do that? Because the guy that led me to Christ said, you need to go tell somebody. Go confess your faith in Jesus Christ. And I called mom and dad. I called my brother. I called my cousin. Called all these people and told them, I just accepted Jesus Christ. Okay, Philippians 2:9 says this. It says, wherefore God has also highly exalted him, Jesus, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Okay, we speak it out. I'm a believer. I'm a Jesus freak. I am born again in Jesus' name. Worship. Okay, wish I had more time. Sorry for getting long on you. Worship is one that I'm not going to give you a bunch of scriptures on. I'm not going to tell you all the benefits of worship. I'm not going to tell you how it helps your relationship with God, how worship is a confession of your faith. I'm going to go through and outline all that with a bunch of scriptures. I'm going to give you basically one statement that'll sum it all up, and it's kind of candid. If you do not praise and worship your Savior, you're probably not a Christian. If you do not praise and worship your Savior, you might need to check yourself whether you be in the faith. Okay, in my personal life, I love to listen to music and stuff while I'm doing things, and I personally don't listen to anything that, if it's not true praise and worship, something that I can sing along with, or something where I can get quiet, let God speak to me, or I can worship Him through it. If it's not that, it's at least Christian music. I mean, it's at least singing and speaking about the Christian life, okay? Casting Crowns. Some of those guys have, you know, ballads and things that minister unto you a little bit. It's going to be something along that line, because my life is a Christian. I am a Christian. That comes first. Who's Gary Gilbert? He's a Christian. That's what I am. So I want that to be a major part of my life. That's what I'll say about worship. Guidance. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpeneth iron. Right, so does a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. We gather together corporately, something happens. Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and there so fulfill the law of Christ. Okay, the body of Christ helps each other. Okay, the body of Christ, we'll get into this when we study it, but prophecy and words of wisdom, a word of knowledge, even tongues and interpretation of tongues sometimes happens in a corporate setting. It is for the benefit, the building up, the encouragement of the entire body of Christ. It is how we stay in tune with God. Okay? It's how we stay in tune with what God is up to corporately as the body of Christ. Okay? We learn to hold each other accountable. Depend on each other, utilize godly counsel. And the last of the spiritual disciplines is celebration. Okay? We don't call it praise and worship for nothing, right? We get to join together to praise our Savior. The church is where we celebrate the gift of grace. The church is where we exalt our Savior, our God, our King, our Lord, our friend. Okay? It is a powerful time when we gather together. The Apostle John said that he saw in a vision when he was writing the book of Revelation that the believers overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. It's about telling people what Jesus has done. It's about glorifying Him and exalting Him, celebrating what He's done, what He's doing right now, and what He's going to do in the future, because God's not done. Okay, so these are some of the spiritual disciplines. Okay, we'll press into them more in the future, I hope. They're intended to challenge your hearts, okay, to kind of stir you a little bit on certain areas, and at the same time to encourage you to keep growing, keep pursuing God, keep seeking that fluidity with Christ and His Spirit. Okay, our walk with God is never ending, and yet it can be exceptionally fulfilling for the Christian. I love being a Christian. Wouldn't want it any other way. How about you? Amen. Okay, we are content. We're satisfied with where God has brought us, and yet we live with hope and expectancy for what is yet to come. God is a good God. Yes. Amen. Father, we praise You this morning. We're exalting Your Son. Father, we thank You that, Father, through this, that You have spoken to hearts, Lord. You've touched areas in our life, maybe given us some direction. These are things that we can apply to our life, an area or a particular thing that maybe we haven't pursued very much in our life, that we can yield ourselves to You and Your Holy Spirit, and those things will begin to manifest and come about more and more in our life, Lord. I pray for all these things, the prayer and fasting and meditating and all these things, Lord, that they will develop in each one of our lives, Lord, causing us to be yielded to You as that vessel that is so overflowing that we're just changing and touching lives around us, Lord. We thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for loving on us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen and amen.